we'll continue with the service and the way we usually do. Just we'll end with the communion today, and so we can do testimony time and share the Lord has done for us this week. And if you want to share anything, and welcome visitors. I don't know if I met your friend first time. I think I see him. Probably he's come before, but what's your name? I'm sorry. Joel, from the Philippines? From the Philippines, okay. Thank you, welcome. Yeah. Thank you. We usually welcome at the beginning. Huh? Jerwell. Jerwin. No, Lord's will. It's Lord's will. Okay, no worries. Yeah, we can, you can come and share whatever the Lord is doing in your life, or you can... As for requests for prayers, of course, we, like the pastor here, she just preached, we live by faith. But the Lord also loves to hear our request, and he cares for all of us. And it helps to hear testimonies from one another. So we are the family and the bride of God, and he cleans us by his blood. And we live daily here through this life. So if you have anything that you want to share or you wanted to request specific prayer, please come. And I always encourage everyone that you want to come and be a moderator or I just wanted to pray. Is it for me, when the first time I was asked to do this, to come in front and to be a moderator, I thought, oh, I cannot do that. But then I realized that the best part of it is to pray. Because we all pray, but we pray alone. But when you hear and you start praying, you're praying with all with everybody. And that's a different thing. That I think, I don't think we have that experience in other situations. So this is a special opportunity for anyone. If you just want to come here and just pray to them. Like we have a section on the bulletin. I will list... the prayer request or whatever is being posted, and I'll pray after that. If you want to just pray, you can come and pray in that time. If you want to, we all bow our heads and nobody will see you. And you just pray the way you pray in your room. And it's a different experience, I at least to me. It's different when I'm alone than when I'm here praying in front of you. And it's great. So I would like to share that with you. If anybody wants to do it, that's very great. We always ask for pray for the offering. That's another thing. So it's just a way to say thank you. That's all. So if you just want to come and say thank you, and that's enough for the offering prayer. So whoever is moderating, we usually post it on the bulletin. And if you want to come and be part of it, just talk to the person, and they'll let you in whenever is the time of prayer or the offering, and you'll be surprised the difference that doesn't make. It might be nervous at the beginning, but it's a good experience, I think. So please come and share a little bit of your experience. So.
Yeah, my name's Tim. I just want to ask you again for prayer. I'd like to share a little bit more today. I'm so glad. I had a wedding in Kure, so I came a little late, and I thought, oh, I missed it again. You know, I missed the sharing time. So I'm very thankful that the sharing time's now, so I can share with you. Art came to our house on Tuesday because I had a day off. My school had a special Founders Day, no classes. And he came to our house because we've had more problems with our son recently, problems involving violence. He would get violent. It was about a, I don't know if it was 2 weeks ago, when he pushed my younger daughter back in the living room, pushed her back on the floor. She didn't get injured, but she was really shocked. Didn't know why did he do it suddenly. And then my wife came to find out what was happening, and he shoved her all the way back from the living room into the kitchen. She landed on the floor, and she got bruised on her side. Not she said it's not severe, but this is something I've shared a little bit, the stuff that's happened over a long period of time now, and we go through times when it seems like he's calmed down and he's not, you know, he's doing okay, and then suddenly something will happen. So I shared that with Art before, and he said, well, I'll come. He said, let me know what I can do. So what we said to Micah Tuesday morning, we said to him, we both said, look, you know, we can't have this anymore in our house. We can't have, you can't be doing things, any violence toward anybody in our house. You just, we can't allow that. And if you do, this is something Art suggested that we should say to him, is if you do, if you're violent again, we're going to have to ask you to leave our house. And what Art really strongly believes, and he's been praying for, is that our son, his life would come to it like a crossroad where he would, like, you know, something would happen where it'd be a crisis, and then our son would God could work in his heart to be willing to live with Art and Darcy. That's been kind of the goal, the prayer request they've had for a long time now, is that our son would move in and live with Art and Darcy. They'd have a separate place for him, separate room, separate, you know, they would work everything out, and then that would be Art and Darcy's ministry, a start on their, what they call the hikikomori ministry, kids who sort of have dropped out of society, and so Art believes that, you know, if our son's life comes into a crisis point, that's the best opportunity for our son to open up to help, to get help through Art and Darcy. So my wife and I approached him Tuesday morning, and we said that to him, and so. It was almost the moment that we said it. I started trying to say it to him. I was saying, look, Micah, and I brought up the topic, you know, and I started getting into it. And every time he became very argumentative, and he was trying to shout me down, you know, I mean, not really loud shouting, but cutting me off, you know, with his own words about, he talks a lot about the past, about problems we've had in our family from years ago and other things. And so my wife was next to me, so my wife just came out with it really fast. My wife is a much more skillful speaker than I am. She said it to him really fast in Japanese. You know, you're going to have to leave. You're going to have to move out if this violence continues. And as soon as she said that, because I kept trying to get to that point, but he kept cutting me off. As soon as my wife said that, our son just boom, he slapped her. He slapped her down on top of her head like that. And she said she didn't get seriously hurt. I often wonder, my wife is the strongest one in our family, because she said she didn't get hurt. And he did it one time, and then he walked away. And we both looked at each other, and we knew, well, that, you know, that we told him, you know, very clearly, you can't be violent toward us in this family. And so I gave Art a call, and Art came right down. You know, Art dropped everything, and he came. It took about an hour and a half from Owasa to Fuchucho. Art came straight down, and Art came in, and my son, he's very calm around Art. I've never seen him get violent or angry or anything. He's very calm when Art is there. So Art came in, and we all sat in the living room, and Art and I and Toshe all just simply said to him, and Art completely backed us up, you know, you really can't stay. If you're going to be getting violent, you're going to have to move out. So we had a bag of some of his things and some money. We gave him, Art took him to Hiroshima Station, because that's where Micah wanted to go. He said there was an internet cafe he wanted to go to, so that's where Art took him. And of course, Art told us, you know, we have to, if we've made this decision, we have to keep it. Well, Thursday morning, at about 3:30 in the morning, the dog started barking, and I came down the stairs, and no sooner was I at the bottom of the stairs, our son came in through the front door, and he came right past me. He said, "Hi," he said, "I'm sorry about what happened," and he went right past me, and he went in the living room, and in that moment, I thought, okay, what am I supposed to do? It's 3:30 in the morning. what should I do? And Thursday morning is our busiest morning. It's like, it's just a madhouse anyway in our house. My wife is getting ready for first period class, and she's got three classes that day in Higashi-Hiroshima City. I've got my classes in the morning. Our younger son, of course, has school, and our younger daughter work, and it's just, the schedules are all really tight. So I couldn't, I just thought, well, we have to go to work. If I start something now, you know, who knows what would happen. So I just said, okay, he's in the living room, and he's just sitting there calmly. So, you know, I stayed on. My wife left for work. She had to go first. She has earlier classes. I saw my younger son off to his job. My younger daughter left first. She left at 6:30 because she has an early train to catch. And then it was time for me to go, and I left, and her son was still in the living room. So I told Art what happened, and Art was very, very disappointed. He thought this was a major setback for everything. I mean, because he'd really been, Art was very excited when Micah went with him to Hiroshima Station that he'd gotten our son out of our house, and here, taking these steps toward the direction of our son eventually living with them. So when he came back, and I told Art was very, very disappointed, and so Art had a long talk with me, and Art said, you know, you guys, you've got to make a decision, and you've got to stick to it. And, you know, I had not locked the door. We moved to this place in 2004, and I have never locked the door. Our house is far back on a very narrow road in a very secluded area, and I've never locked the door at night when I came home. And that's no excuse, but I came home tired Wednesday night, and I just didn't think about locking the door. And so, you know, so he came in. So Jim has helped us out. I want to give all the credit to Jim for this, about what to say. We're trying to think, okay, what are we going to do now? What do we say to our son now? And my wife and I have got an idea. Jim is helping. He said, do you have time after the service, Jim? Okay, because he's written something up for us based on what I shared with Jim about our situation. We want to give our son another message, but this time that we're going to completely and fully follow through on it, you know, of course, in love. And thank you, Jim. Jim was very sensitive and compassionate with my feelings about how I felt so bad about, you know, that letting Art down. But we need to give him my wife and I together, we want to approach him and give him a very clear message. And honestly, this is what we're thinking right now. One more opportunity to see a doctor, because he's got some physical, or I don't know how much of it is physical, how much might be mental, I don't know. He himself has wanted to see some kind of doctor for some time now, and recently he's been talking about Kusatsu Byoin, which is another hospital in Hiroshima. So so this is what we're thinking right now, is we're going to put together our message to him that we will make an appointment for a day and time for him to see a doctor in Kusatsu Byoin, Kusatsu Hospital. If he refuses that, or if he shows more violence, or, you know, if he doesn't go along with the plan we have, then we're going to have him move out, and we're going to make sure he stays out, because he needs to. I agree with Art. Staying in our home is not helping our son. He's been there 2.5 years now, and you know, he never goes out. Never goes out the front door. Basically, stays in the living room, kitchen, his upstairs room, and is not doing anything. I mean, he's just basically a recluse. But he's very moody, and I mean, that's understandable. He's not he's not, you know, his life is really off the rails, and it's not good for him, and it'll just get worse. My wife and I totally agree. Art believes that too. It'll just get worse if we just leave it like it is. So we're going to put together a message that my wife and I will present together to him, that, you know, you have to follow what we're going to say for you to do to see this doctor, and if he says he doesn't want to see a doctor, but he's willing to, for example, move out or something else, we can work with that. But we have to bring him to a point of decision where he has to make a decision. And if it means that he has to leave our home again, then we have to have him move out and make sure he stays out. So, you know, and I'll make sure that if I come home late at night, that I lock the door, that we would all... I've already talked to my two younger children that they understand the situation, that if we do have him move out, we just have to keep the doors locked so that he doesn't come back in again. So this is for his good. This is all for our son's good. It sounds very extreme, and it feels very extreme to kick your own child out of your house. And I feel terrible about it, but I don't see any other way. If this pattern continues... And his condition just gets worse, you know, it's going to destroy his life. It's going to ruin his life. And so I just ask your prayers. Whatever we do, we feel like we need to do it. We feel like the sooner the better. If we can do it, we'd like to do it this week is our plan to approach him. But we want to have it all worked out in our minds, all thought through exactly how are we going to present it. What are we going to say to him? What kind of ultimatum are we going to give him? And then the next step is up to him. So please pray for us this week with our son Micah, and pray that we would have the, you know, the courage and the perseverance in love to follow through on the decision we make, and that we can come up with the right thing to say to him and how to say it too. So please pray for us and our son Micah this week especially. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hello, everyone. My name is Grace. I request your prayers. Next week, we won't be in church. We'll be going to San Francisco for my conference. So we will leave Hiroshima on Wednesday afternoon. We'll go to Narita and spend the night at my friend's house, and then we'll leave on Thursday. We arrive there on Thursday, and then we will leave there on the following week on Wednesday and arrive here on Thursday. So please keep us in prayers, especially for good health and protection for Joyce. I don't have health insurance, so if we are outside the country, we just trust God to be well and nobody should fall sick and any emergency. Of course, when I'm alone, it's a little easier to. But when you are with a small child, yeah, we really need God's protection and guidance. Amen. So today I also want to encourage you something. And it's from this book. It's called Following God with All Your Heart by Elizabeth George. Yeah, I'll just read about her. Elizabeth George, whose books have sold more than 4.8 million copies, is the author of A Woman After God's Own Heart, more than 930,000 copies sold, Working with the Women of the Bible, and Life Management for Busy Women, mostly for women. Yeah. She's a popular teacher and speaker at Christian women's events. Elizabeth and her husband, Jim, are parents and grandparents and have been active in ministry for more than 30 years. So today I wanted to encourage you. It's actually a scripture from the Bible, from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I use the New King James Version. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So I wanted to share this last Sunday, but I forgot to bring the book, so I pushed it to today. I wanted to encourage you something about transformation or change. And I put a picture of metamorphosis. Those who learned science know this term. It's the process in which some insects change into a new form. And mostly it's like the caterpillar. We know the caterpillar. It starts with the egg and the caterpillar and then the pupa, which is like a cocoon, and then it becomes a butterfly. I remember the first time I was watching some anime with Joyce, and she saw the pupa, and it's like it was a caterpillar, and then it became a pupa. And then when they slept and woke up the next morning, they found a butterfly. So that was like her first experience to know that actually usually caterpillars later change into butterflies. So this process of change is called metamorphosis. And why I wanted to encourage you about this is especially because some of us are having a difficult time now. You know, we have sick relatives, sick friends, a difficult time like Tim, what he's going through, just different kind of things. And what happens is the process of change is usually not an easy process. Because like for the butterfly to come out, the process between the caterpillar and the pupa is probably a painful process because some part of the body has to be shed off and a new body has to be formed in that process. And probably it's a very dark process for it. And it actually represents the hard times that we go through. And most of the time, we do not know what's happening. We can only see the pain and the difficulties that we are going through. But what we don't know is that God is forming something in us. It doesn't necessarily have to be we change and become a butterfly. But what happens for a Christian life is that God develops something new in you. Probably you have a problem with anger. During that process, God takes away the anger and he gives you a gentle spirit. Suddenly you realize you can control yourself with people. These are the kind of things that God does in us. It doesn't have to be a whole body changing into a new one, but something that represents the quality of Christ that is formed in you through a process of pain, through a process of darkness, through a process of you don't understand anything. It's just a dark cocoon you're inside, but God is changing you. He's creating something in you. So today I wanted to encourage you that what God wants us to do during this metamorphosis is to renew our minds through his word. We shouldn't let ourselves conform to the pattern of this world. For us to just cooperate with Jesus is to get our mind renewed by his word. The only thing that can keep you strong, can keep you holding on through the process of change, through the process of renewal, is having yourself soaked in the word of God. You can never have enough of God's word. I would like to give you an example. I'm a researcher, so I'm very busy, and I take care of my daughter as a single parent. But that's no excuse not to study the word of God, because each of us desperately needs the word of God. As long as you don't have the word of God, this process becomes very hard for you. And thank God for technology these days. You can always find an easier way to do something. I never knew I can listen to the word of God, like, in another way. So the other day, Pastor Chris was talking about his wireless earphone, and he said he doesn't have time. So, and Nahomi already told me he's always listening even to the word of God in the house as he plays with the kids or takes care of something. So I thought, I commute to work every morning, 20 minutes going, 20 minutes coming back, and come on, I could use this time to listen to the word of God. And I just felt a big difference when I started listening. I actually started with Revelation. I don't know why, but I chose to start with Revelation. And 20 minutes is enough to listen like to a whole New Testament, like Ephesians. It takes about 20 minutes, all of it, and you have listened to the whole of Ephesians. So you don't have to sit down and study the word. You can find an alternative way to get yourself filled with God's word in your mind. It really changes. It really helps you to handle a difficult process. And I just want to encourage you. You don't have to do the way I do. I've been here 4.5 years, and I'm thinking all those hours I've been commuting without just looking at shops and people and cars. And now I can, of course, I listen with one ear so that the other ear is careful not to cause accident or something. But it's really been amazing, and I thank God. So today I just want to tell you about the importance of God's word for renewal. And believe me, we go through this every day. God is forming something, but the problem is the caterpillar doesn't know what's happening. It will just find itself into a butterfly. And that's exactly what happens to us as Christians also. Times are hard, but what you do, believe that God is making something new out of what you're going through, and you'll be blessed. So I'll just like to read the small portion that relates to this, and then I'll be through. I'll try to read slowly for those who are not very good in English, also to understand. An interesting fact about the metamorphosis of the caterpillar is that while it is in its chrysalis, two things are happening. First, there is a destructive process going on that is breaking down some of the organs inside the caterpillar. At the same time, a constructive process is going on as some new adult organs are formed. And so the caterpillar emerges after its time out of sight with a body made new, transformed. The butterfly's renewal procedure is similar to what you experience when it comes to your growth and movement towards God's will. The destructive process is your decision not to be conformed to the world, to break its hold on you, to do battle against it, to withdraw and turn from it and seek something different. The constructive process is being transformed to God's standards, your life changing to match the new life of Christ inside you. This is transformation from sinful depths to the exceptional heights found in Christ. At the fork in the road, you will go God's way, do things His way, think His thoughts, view life and choices through His eyes, live for Him. You will choose actions that will renew your mind and make you more like Christ. These choices and decisions make you an extraordinary person. Are you becoming more like your Savior, the one you love and the one who loves you? Then you're well on your way. God bless you.
Grace is dealing with the scientific terms. I'm into language, so I really appreciate what you have shared today, because that is also in relation to what I'm going to share this afternoon. Well, I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Eric Carle, the very hungry caterpillar. It's a children's book. So it's a children's book by Eric Carle. I use it in teaching English to my students. We have 1 week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so the metamorphosis, the transition of the life of the caterpillar. So in the book of Eric Carle, it was depicted there that the caterpillar eats every day. Eats different kinds of food every day. I can't memorize the foods, but every day it was different until it becomes big and big and big. And then on the sixth day, it has to rest. And it doesn't have to eat anything, but just rest and sleep. And then when it woke up, he became a butterfly. So the relationship of that is when Grace was sharing about the times wherein we are in the cocoon. So we need to rest. I believe that all of us are hungry. We are hungry every day for the Word of God, for the revelation of God, for the leading of God, and for the presence of God. Many times in our life, we don't feel it. But the Word of God says so. We only have to believe. Many times in my life, I kept on asking, Lord, where are you? Why am I not hearing you? But many times also in my life, God told me, I'm just right here. You keep on eating and eating, but you're not chewing. Yeah, because I also listen. One of the good things of being alone in the house is that you can do anything that you want. Like while I was washing, I was cleaning, I keep on listening to the word. But I realize I'm not chewing. It's like when you chew your food, it will give you more nutrients, right? But when you just eat and eat and eat and eat, so it will just come out. Not so much nutrients are being absorbed by your body. It's in the same manner also. When we keep on just reading and listening, but not really chewing it to get what the rhema of the Lord for you. Of course, you will grow, but sometimes you will have indigestion. So you will eat a lot, you will have indigestion. You will not understand, what is this God? What is this you telling me about? You will not understand. But if you try to chew the word very well and have it sink in your heart, God will really speak to you. It also happened to me for a while now. I kept on asking God, Lord, what is your message for me? It's been a long time. What's your message for me? I read your word, I pray, I listen, I do everything just to make me feel that you are with me. Just to make me feel. Feeling is different from knowing. So when you want to feel, well, of course, I don't feel like doing it sometimes. But the reality is God is always there, even if you don't feel it. So I told God, Lord, please speak to me. Speak to me that I can just have a word from you. And then, of course, God speaks. It's different when you hear it than when you read it by yourself. Because when you read it by yourself, it's God speaking to you directly. Because when you just hear it, you can just hear it. But when you read the word of God and chew from that, you will get the best from that. Although I have read this verse for I don't know how many times already, but every every time I read it before, there's a new revelation that God will give you. And this week, God gave me this one. It's in John 14. So if you can read with me. This is also a popular verse. John 14, verse 1 to 4. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. So, a different revelation from the Lord, because I'm a worrier. I'm a worrier. Although I knew a lot, but I still worry. God told me, you don't have to worry. That's a very appropriate message from Pastor Hiroshi this afternoon. You're a Christian, you believe in God, so no stress, no worries. God is handling everything. And indeed, God is handling everything. So I just want to have a praise report for those who have prayed for my son. He's now enrolled for the second semester, and he is having Bachelor of Science in Information System as a course. So officially enrolled now. He has 21 units to study. And he didn't say to have this as a prayer request, but I believe he will ask you to pray that one of the subject is Tagalog, Filipino language. He did not tell me about difficulty in English, because I think he already had a little bit of confidence in understanding English. But now he has one subject to study Tagalog. And for those who knew my son, he doesn't have any background of Tagalog language. So we have Bisaya. We speak Bisaya. So he said, "Mama, dosuru." Of course, you have to learn another language. So please pray for him. Right now, he's back in the dormitory. Tomorrow is the beginning of their second semester, and everything is new to him. Thank you for praying. The father already supported. He provided for everything. So I'm free. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the gesture that is being given to my son. Now at least my son had that sort of feeling that he is really also cared of. Thank you so much. And please continue to pray also for him. I'm considering to visit him in December because he cannot come. He cannot come here because of the visa issues. I'm still in the process of applying for a dependence visa for him again. Hopefully, it will come out by December or early January. So our consideration is for him to be here in April and May and then go back again for the next semester. So please continue to pray for him. Thank you very much for, he really misses being in this fellowship. But right now, he already had the confidence to travel alone by, we call it pedicab. Yeah, by pedicab. But before, he doesn't know how to, para. So he doesn't know how to really ride the pedicab going to the church. So one of my friends used to just pick him up, go to the church. But right now, he said, "Mama, dikimasu." I can do it. But at first, of course, while he was going to the church, he was still communicating with me. "Am I riding the right pedicab?" Just be confident. And then he was able to go to the church alone. Okay, so please continue to pray for him that he will be very courageous enough to really go around the city. Thank you so much. God bless you all.
My name is Mihoko Mikio, and I attended a kind of hearing at our daughter's hospital last Wednesday. That hearing was given by the different two psychiatrists out of the hospital, and one city officer. They kindly said to us, "It's not easy to continue to love the patient with mental illness for nearly 2 decades." And then they read our report and the report given by the hospital themselves, and then they thanked to us that we have continued to love her by receiving her so often, more than 70 times or more, and then we continue to visit her every weekend. So I was nearly tears came up my eyes when they said that they are thankful to us. Really, yeah. So the Bible teaches me that he loves our daughter in spite of her illness. And he says, "You're precious from my viewpoint." So, yeah, we have continued to give her that warmest word in the Bible to our family. So our daughter has loved us. In the bad situation, it was difficult for us to love each other, of course. But now she loves us, and we have loved her. And the two psychiatrists and one city officer out of the hospital said thank you to us. It was really moving to us. Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Jim. And in the morning service, they're going through Revelation the same as we are in the English, International English Service. But they finished today. So next week they'll have a review, but they finished. And it finishes with, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. It's reminding us that soon, we don't know what soon means. This was written 2,000 years ago, but soon is still soon, and Jesus may come back anytime. And we want to say amen, but I think well, my daughter has not made a commitment. She's going to church, but hasn't made a commitment and been baptized. Our son isn't going to church at the moment. And my brothers and sisters also are not Christian. So that's one thing that you think, I want them to come to Christ before. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking most of the people here are about the age of my children, closer to the age of my children than me. And I remember that when I became a Christian, my parents were not. My father became a Christian about 5 years after, and my mother about 10 years after. They both became a Christian at around 70 years old. And I'm really thankful for that. So I realized that, you know, at different ages we have different concerns for different people in our lives, but if we can just pray together, and dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we trust in you, and we're reminded, Lord, that you are our peace and our joy and our hope. It's you we put our faith in. We want to put our faith in you for those around us. As Pastor Hiroshi reminded us, even those not close to us, Lord, help us to have a love that comes from you that's beyond ourselves, that can reach out like that. And Lord, give us wisdom in the words we use. Help us not just to think, if it will be, it will be, but Lord, you put us in our families to somehow to show your love. Just as Mihoko-san could say, the doctors recognize Mihoko-san, Mikio-san's love for their daughter. They probably can't recognize where it's coming from. It comes from you, Lord, and it's without end. So, Lord, we just pray that we may do that, reach out somehow to those we love around us, so that we may say, come, Lord Jesus, amen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.